This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You might assume we're both good at presenting to a live audience because of this podcast. But at the end of the day, when we record, it really feels like we're just talking to one another. Presenting information in person in a formal setting to a large audience is something that still makes us really nervous. To prepare for a live speaking event we're hosting together, we turned to our masterclass subscription to not only refine our presentation skills, but to build our confidence in a different kind of public speaking capacity. Between Robin Roberts, Hillary Clinton, and Kevin Hart's expertise, our confidence skyrocketed. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiate with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or plan your dream wedding with celebrity event planner Mindy Wise, Masterclass has you covered. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like our latest aha moments from Robin Roberts' Effective and Authentic Communication class that we watched before our event presentation. She taught us how to establish a genuine connection with the audience from the start. I'll always be a little nervous before presenting, but Masterclass prepared us in a way that dialed my nerves down and gave me tools to ground myself. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Em.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Not good. I'm great. You're not good.
No.
You've been displaced for a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Like moving situations.
It's just a lot of change.
Yes.
That feels never ending. Mm-hmm. So there are days where I'm better than others, and today isn't what I was honestly doing. Okay, and then I went to get coffee this morning. And I was going to do a U-turn, which, of course, was illegal where I was doing it. And a random pedestrian yelled at me.
Well, they caught you.
I just don't like when random pedestrians yell at me. They were like, they didn't really yell. They like pointed. They were like pointed to the no U-turn sign.
Yes, but Jen, it's because it's just you and that one other person who live in that town.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what's going to happen if I do this U-turn?
How many other cars were out in your small town you're in?
No one. So I'm like, I am going to be a real badass and I'm going to break the law today.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do this U-turn when no one is around and the pedestrian was not happy with me.
Yeah, well, they showed you.
They showed me.
You got
so that really, you know, kicked my day off, you know. But things are looking up. I'm seeing your gorgeous, beautiful face.
And tell me, well, let's you know what, mix up. What's your favorite holiday? Izzy asked.
I need to think about this. You go first.
You know what?
You don't know either.
Well, because I'm not. So keep in mind, I am not religious at all. So for me,
neither
when I say a holiday, it has nothing to do with the religion aspect. I just have to say that right now.
Yeah.
I fucking like Easter, man. I like the eggs. I like the egg hunt. I like bunnies. I like Christmas, too. I just feel like it's the actual holiday season, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas together is actually a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that at all with Easter.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, Easter is just, like, cool to watch an egg hunt. So, like, I dig Easter.
Okay. Now that you say that, I'm also not religious.
Yes.
But I think my favorite holiday is Yom Kippur. And I'll tell you why.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Is that the one? The one where you fast. And I'll tell you what. I don't fast.
Is Yom Kippur. Yeah.
At all. However, what does happen is when you break the fast.
Everyone's eating.
You eat bagels for dinner.
You know, you can just do that any day of the week.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like every, it's like a celebration yes. of like eating bagels for dinner, you know? And like, who wouldn't want that?
No, that's so, it is so true. Like, it's so lovely.
I don't know if anyone would else would say that was their favorite.
Wait, is it Rosh Hashanah that's apples and honey?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like apples and honey. I do like
me
that
too,
part. Yes.
But not as much as bagels for dinner.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, so like it has nothing to do with religion, but I would say that's what it is. Thank you, Izzy. Pam had asked, "And what's one of your irrational fears? Do you have one?"
I have so many. try to choose which one. I think my biggest, growing up, I had a real fear of natural disasters, which I don't know how irrational that is.
Yeah. Climate change is probably not that irrational anymore.
Right, right.
30 years ago, it probably was. Maybe not so much.
And I think it comes from when there was a lightning storm. My mom was very anxious, and she used to tell us to put on rubber shoes and run to the basement. Yeah. And believe it or not, our house actually got struck by lightning.
She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't. And so like her very rational fear actually came true. I mean, it ended up being fine. The house didn't catch on fire. We like ran over to my neighbor's house. But it was a wild experience. Isn't that crazy?
I don't think I knew that story.
Yeah. You know, we're learning new things about each other every day.
Wow. All right. Mine is something biting my fucking vagina in the toilet. Like mine is.
Yeah.
It's like the snake or a scorpion or like we live in Pennsylvania. There's no scorpions. But my thing is totally something comes out of the toilet and bites me.
Do you hover because of that?
No, I don't hover. I make no precautions for this irrational fear.
Hovering's too hard.
No, yes, no. I guess also sometimes, I told you, we talked about this before, the movie The Strangers, I was in high school.
Oh.
I've never, that movie did severe damage to me. And so now I have a fear, like at night, especially if I'm like letting the dogs out, that there's going to be somebody in the window. So that's a little bit of my thing from that fucking movie.
That movie really, honestly, that movie was scary. Scary movies don't really get me, but like that movie really, really.
You know, like, I can't watch any, like, for me, like, a scary movie is, like, James and the Giant Peach. Like, I'm like, that peach is too big. I don't like that.
I mean, that peach was too absurdly big.
It's too big.
I mean, I don't know if it would scare me, but it was insane. That was an insane peach. I agree.
But, hey, you're listening to this episode, and we're pretty darn close to the holidays. So we're going to do a holiday Q&A today, but I just want to start out by saying this. Whatever the season is for you, that is okay. There is a lot of pressure around the holidays that you supposed to feel a certain way or do certain things. And for a lot of us, the holidays are actually an incredibly grief-filled experience. So I want to start out by saying, if you are not in the holiday spirit today, that is A-okay. If you're feeling stressed around this, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you have financial pressure this time of year and feel like you have to be giving to others and all of these different stuff, worried about comments of what you're eating, I just want to let you know we're thinking about you, and it is what it is this year, and you're going to get through this, or you're going to have a wonderful time, and it could be everything in between.
The reason why we say this is because so many people experience emotions other than joy during the holidays, and we're inundated with commercials, with movies, that are showing us this picture perfect family of here are what the holidays look like. And here's what joy, you know, you're supposed to feel this. And it's this like warm joy, love. And when you're seeing that and you're not feeling it, your grief or your pain can get even bigger because we start to say, well, why aren't I feeling that? Like, is something wrong with me? And something is not wrong with you. So many people experience difficult emotions during the holidays. And so even if you're not seeing it on TV or you're not seeing it on Instagram, social media, it doesn't mean that you're alone. Other people are going through it too. And so just know that there's nothing wrong with you and do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And that beautifully brings us into our first question. The grief of losing that childhood joy of the holidays as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you're a kid, depending on your family, for a lot of kids, the holidays are super cool and exciting. You know, it's such a, even at school, they're like so hyped up about holidays. Yes. And I'm like, man, it's like, we got fucking like three. Like, I feel like December 1st, my kids coming home talk about the holidays. And I'm like,
tone it down. puts the pressure on high. But it is, as a child, right? It feels a lot more magical. As an adult, it feels like a tremendous amount of pressure often. And so I wonder if, one, you can allow yourself to feel that grief while also looking for the shining parts as an adult. And they might not be as big and they might not be as magical, but they're there. And what do you have to transition that into to find a small bit of joy and magic as an adult?
I also love the idea of looking at what was it about the holidays that felt really joyful for you as a child, right? Was it, oh, I'm getting surprise presents? Was it, oh, you know, I'm with my family, everyone's at, whatever it is. If there's any pieces of that that you can look at and say, are there ways in which I can give that to myself? I think as an adult, we're so focused on like, how do I buy for other people? How do I take care of other people? Which is beautiful. But I think it's also important to think about like, what is it that I can give to myself during this holiday season? Are there ways that I can spark some joy for myself? What do I need? Do I even need the gift of taking a little pressure off myself of buying every single person in the family a gift, right? What are the things that I can give to myself this holiday season? Because I think as an adult, there's a lot of pressure on and focus on other people. And so I think finding the balance in that is really important.
Anyone else feeling like the mental load of making dinner, the planning, the shopping, the prep, figuring out the timing? It's a little heavy to carry, huh? Same. That's why I am so grateful for Hungry Root. The food quality, simple recipes, true tastiness, and delivery right to my door is truly a game changer. When getting started, you take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know you, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. So you can sit back, relax, and offload the many steps of meal planning. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins, supplements, much more. My favorite item from my latest box was the honey citrus chopped salad, lemon pepper chicken, and the four cheese tortellini. You gotta try it for yourself. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Did you know that billions of plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles end up in landfills every year? I used to contribute to that waste, constantly buying single-use plastic cleaning products without giving it much thought. But then I discovered Blue Land, and it has been a game changer. Blue Land has helped me eliminate the need for single-use plastic and the products I reach for the most. They are reinventing cleaning essentials. Their approach is simple yet revolutionary. Refillable cleaning products with a sleek design that not only looks great on your counter, but also reduces plastic waste significantly. What I love most is the convenience. With Blue Land, I never worry about running out of cleaning supplies or lugging bulky bottles from the store. From hand soap to toilet bowl cleaner to laundry tablets that each smell incredible, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I was blown away when I received my first Blue Land order. I immediately filled the bottles with water and their tablets, which was so easy to try everything out. And the ingredients are clean, the scents are refreshing, and the packaging is just so cute. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. If you're ready to make a positive change for the planet without sacrificing cleanliness or convenience, Blue Land has you covered. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
You know, someone had written in and written about, I'm struggling financially, how to not feel guilty to compare that I can't give my kids what I wish I could. Mm. I want to say that children want their parents. Children want memories. they might not say that. They might say, I want that Nintendo, right? Is Nintendo a thing anymore? I don't fucking know.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
I'm like, they want that Furby.
I wanted a Furby so bad, and then I got one.
They're horrifying.
Eventually, and they don't stop talking.
No.
And you shove them in your closet, and you take the batteries out, and they're still talking.
Yeah, too scary.
And it just
absolutely
haunts
too scary.
You. Okay, keep going.
And so your children might say they want things, but I want to tell you this. There are so many ways to give children a magical experience that are not financially tapping you out. You spend an evening cutting out. Remember those, you know, you fold the paper and you cut out a little snowflake?
Yeah, that was fun.
If you put those all over your house with your kids, that is going to bring them more joy to wake up to than that stuff. And so the guilt, I think you have to say, is that I want more for my kids, sure, but stuff does not matter the way we think it does. And I believe that it is a beautiful thing to give your children to walk away from an over physical items thing, right? Like when we overindulge our children, that actually does not give kids the right tools. So giving kids shit is actually not the best parenting thing we can do.
Yeah.
So the one guilt I want to take away from you is that there is a better way to do this that includes spending time with your children, giving them magic in other ways, and tell yourself that yes, it might be the finances that are changing this, but could there be some good in that?
Yeah. Have you heard of Elf on a Shelf? Is this like something everyone knows about?
Everyone knows about Elf on a Shelf. And every fucking day. So we don't have an Elf on the Shelf.
Is there a mensch on a bench too?
There is a mensch on a bench. We don't have an Elf on a Shelf or a mensch on a bench. And I don't have anything because you're supposed to like move it every night. I think it's a little bit excessive. But now every kid in school has it. And so my daughter desperately wants this Elf on a Shelf. So I ordered one. It's $50 on Amazon.
It is?
Maybe it's higher because it's closer to the holidays right now. Yeah. I just ordered it. It's $50, comes with a book. And I bought it. I haven't put it out yet. My plan is actually to set it up this weekend for her to wake up to because she keeps asking for it. And I told her that I sent a message into Santa to request one. Because somebody gave me the really good idea to say, like, if you don't want to get your kids one, like, listen, like, there's only so many elves to go around.
Right.
And so other kids have to grow out of the elves before one comes to your house.
Wow,
and so
that's
what I told her.
Beautiful.
But yeah, it's a lot of work. And that's the thing is you see these other families doing it, but that means every night you move this elf because that's the thing is that they're like awake at night and they tell Santa.
Right. So the reason why I bring it up is because I think that, right? I mean, it sounds like it's expensive. Who knew? But that's an example of an experience that you're giving your child where they're waking up and they're seeing this and it's something that's really exciting for them. Even if you can't buy the Elf on a Shelf, like, can you make one? Can you make one yourself? Right? I think that that's something you can choose a different stuffed animal. Right. I think there are ways to be creative with it and to give your children experiences that don't necessarily come with things or come with buying more. So
I can tell you this. There are very few Christmas mornings I can remember from my childhood.
Wow.
But what I can remember, like, you know, like of toys, like you can sit here and say, like, what's the best present you've ever gotten? Like, I don't think I can answer that question. But what I do remember is that every Christmas dinner, my grandmother had this. There's something called a peppermint pig that's like an old tradition. Do you know about this?
No.
It's like a big piece of peppermint that's shaped like a pig. And you put it in this red bag. And it comes with a little mini hammer. And every person goes around and hammers the pig. And then you like take a piece out. I will remember that until the day I die. That tradition of that tiny fucking pig. Couldn't tell you a gift.
Okay, so that is really important, right? That you're remembering experiences, right? These like cool, creative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily have to do with things. I always feel a nagging sense of anxiety around the holidays. I first attributed it to college finals and working long hours in retail, but those days are far behind me and I still feel super anxious. How can I get out of the mindset holidays are stressful? First, let me say, if you have been in experiences throughout your life, especially as your brain was developing too, your brain might start to develop connections of, oh, it's the holidays and this is a stressful time for me. So your brain starts firing these anxious signals to you, when it starts to see these other things that you used to associate with, this was a really stressful time. So it makes sense, right, that you're starting to feel more anxiety around the holidays. I also notice, you know, whether we're on social media, whether we're watching TV, we're also inundated with so many commercials of like, buy this, do this. There's a lot of like demand to do something, right? And to be active and get something and buy more things and, you know, call someone, send a card. You know, there's just so much pressure, I think, that comes with this time of year.
Great time to take a break from social media.
There it is. There it is. But I think that to sit down and ask yourself, like, talk to yourself about your anxiety. What's coming up for me right now? What is my fear? What's the stress that's coming up? Is it tied to these past experiences? Is it necessarily what's coming up in this moment right now? And I would really separate out, where is this anxiety coming from? Is it history? Or is it stuff I'm experiencing in the present moment? And I think that with anxiety, because it's so uncomfortable, so often we say, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to feel this. How do I not feel this? When instead of trying to push it away, we greet it and say, well, what's going on here, right? Ask yourself some questions about it. Because when you try to push it away and say, I need to be happy, I need to not feel stressed, your anxiety is just going to come on stronger. So greet yourself with curiosity and say, well, what's this anxiety about? What am I feeling? And are there specific times that the anxiety is triggered more? Is it when I'm at the mall, you know, because retail is triggering this for me? Is it when I'm talking to family members? What is this bringing up? When is it coming up for me? And how do I try to understand where it might be coming from today? And then I want you to say, well, what is it that I can do to give to myself during this time, as opposed to saying, I need to not feel stressed. If I am feeling stressed, how do I nurture myself through this stress? How do I take care of myself through this, as opposed to saying, well, I don't want to feel this way? That's going to lead you to more safety and ability to be able to comfort yourself during this time than saying, how do I just not feel this? Mm-hmm.
Grief and loss around the holidays. For many people, the holidays are very difficult, especially if there's new loss. Yeah. First holidays without someone, holidays after a breakup, even second, third, right? To sit around at Christmas dinner and know that there was someone missing, someone you love. So we want there, that includes pets.
Yeah.
Right? So you might have to take breaks. You might have to be really aware of what your capacity is. And what you need to take care of yourself, you need a tremendous amount of attunement during this time of year.
Yeah. I think if you have places that you feel safe to be honest about the feelings, right? So, you know, so often during the holidays, we'll be seeing people we haven't seen in a while. And they might say, like, hey, how are you doing? And I think the default answer is always, oh, I'm good. Like, how are you? And as opposed to jumping to default answer, you can be very honest and authentic if you're feeling safe in those conversations and in those environments, to just be like, hey, it's been really hard. You know, I no longer have this person with me, but I'm working through it. And I think the more that you can connect your internal self with your external self, it also gives you that space to be able to grieve, because the more that we push it away and we feel like we have to put on a face and pretend like we're doing okay, the lonelier you're going to feel in those environments. And the more you do that over and over and over again, the more that loneliness will build. So even if you're just mentioning it and in these small moments and connecting your internal world externally, I think the more it gives you the opportunity to reach out to others, and it gives other people the opportunity to be there for you, even just in those small moments.
I really
fun fact about me that you might not know is that if I let my hair dry natural, it is a frizz ball mess, which is one of the many reasons I absolutely love Prose. I truly never thought that I would be able to embrace my natural hair texture. Ever since I switched to a custom hair routine with Prose, I've noticed so many benefits. Less frizzy hair, yes, but beyond that too. My hair is shinier, healthier, and so much more manageable. Filming the podcast every week makes checking out my hair unavoidable, and I have felt so much more confident on camera thanks to Prose. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. The custom shampoo and conditioner combo, plus the hydrating leave-in conditioner and hair oil, keeps the frizz at bay. It also makes for the smoothest blowout. People keep asking me if I got my hair cut or went to the salon, which is, of course, the highest compliment. Prose isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're certified B Corp cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my life. I used this feature when I moved to my temporary house in New Jersey, back to my house post-construction project in Pennsylvania. Environmental factors like water source is something that Prose takes into consideration with their customization. So it was very cool that I had the ability to update my location. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, and they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/shrinkchicks. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/shrinkchicks. That's prose.com/shrinkchicks. I am thrilled that the weather is finally warming up here in Philly. I went to switch out my closet the other day from my fall winter wear to my spring summer wear and noticed that I very much needed a refresh. So thank goodness for Quince that allows me to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I refresh my closet with the high-waisted linen shorts that come in multiple colors and patterns, the comfiest cotton tees, and my latest favorite, the smocked mini dress. And don't miss out on their accessories. Quince has the coolest sunglasses and 14 karat gold jewelry to complete any look. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Somebody said, how to manage when family members are fake on holidays. That's hard, right? So you're sitting here and you just gave out very good advice about having your insides match your outsides. And then a question is, well, what about when that doesn't fucking work?
I'm laughing because I just thinking about myself personally and how I have such I want everyone to put everything out on the table at all times. Like, I would just like everyone to like say how they feel and like I don't like dancing around things. I'm just laughing about myself personally, how I might call it out in like a small way. I don't know if I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I think it depends.
Don't take this advice necessarily.
I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I was thinking about myself personally because also everyone's family dynamics are different. There's more safety for me to do that. People will like laugh and joke about things. But I think the question isn't necessarily about the other person being fake. I think it's about how does it affect you when other people around you are being fake? What does it bring up for you?
I think we're also talking about then maybe the importance of processing afterwards. And I'm not even just saying processing with other people. Sometimes it's processing with yourself and or through journaling and written word of like, what did I just experience? Like, why was that sort of, that was just something I got even from my doula when I had my birth, that she was like, let's talk through what just happened here. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's that thing that nurse said to me. And she was like, yeah, that was pretty fucked up, right? but at the time, you're like focusing on something else. You're on survival in any of these like high stress situations. And so I'm wondering what it would be like for you to process afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. But somebody did say, can you please share some pre-holiday gathering mantras? So First one I'm going to say is, I am safe. For most of us, unless you are not, I'm not talking about that. If you're in an unsafe situation, we always want you to get the care you need. Call an emergency support line. But if you're actually physically safe, right, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to survive this. So no matter, even if some motherfucker makes some comment about food and I'm struggling, I can walk out of here and hold on to my recovery.
Yes.
I can walk out of here and I can be okay after this. And really re-regulating and talking down your nervous system.
Yeah. And maybe I'm not responsible for other people's emotional reactions. I'm not responsible for other people's emotions. The only person I am responsible for is me. And I get to decide what I do with my emotions and what I do with my boundaries. I have complete control over what I do with my boundaries. And that includes taking physical space if you need it. That includes saying, hey, that really hurt my feelings. And so I think that reminding yourself of the emotional and physical boundaries that you're able to set between other people and yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it brings up a lot of these questions. It's like, you're spending so much time with family. And that can be really reactivating for us, is to spend that much time with family. We don't always spend that much time with them. And a lot of the times we regress. It pulls us back into this like childlike self or things that we experienced growing up, and it brings it back to the surface. And so I think that the person who asked this question, what do I do if someone's fake? My guess is that like you've experienced this before. Otherwise, you wouldn't ask us the question. And so I think another question is like, what have you done in the past when someone has been fake? What does that bring up for you? And is there anything that you want to do differently this year? Are there ways in which you have handled that that haven't been working for you? And are there things that you want to do to change that response to other people being fake? Do you want to say something? Do you want to step out of the room? Do you just think about, is there anything that I want to do differently? Because you can't control whether that other person is fake or whether they're authentic. What you can control is what you do with that.
Mm-hmm. Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. You got it. You got it. You go first.
Okay, balancing what I want versus what my partner wants from holiday celebration. Are we going to choose that one?
That was the exact one I was going to choose.
Okay.
We're both the dealers.
So first, we're going to always talk about meeting our partner with kindness and curiosity. So one, having the conversation and not making assumptions. So the first thing I do is make sure everyone's in a good headspace, and we're not going to do it the night before the holiday. We're going to do it ahead of time. We're going to have a warm cup of tea. We're going to get snuggled in a comfy situation, and we're going to talk like grown-ass fucking adults.
There it is.
What would give you joy this holiday season? What would give me joy? And how do we work these two worlds in together? Focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Right?
Yes.
You automatically go in and say, you want to know what? I don't want to deal with your fucking mother. Is very different than me saying, I want to walk out of that dinner feeling like you and I are a team.
Yeah.
Those are two different ways to approach a situation.
And how do we get there?
And how do we get there, right?
I think this is a big question, depending on how far into your relationship you are, right? How long you've been together, is that every couple comes to a point where they have to decide, right? You know, I had this tradition growing up. You had this tradition growing up. What are we going to build together? Mm. And what happens is that you have to create something new that blends those two together or balances what you both want. That can be really hard to negotiate, because what it means is that you both are having to give up something too. You're gaining something new. But I think what comes with that is this grief of letting something old go, that no longer will your holidays look like they once did, because you're having to create something new with your partner. And that's a really beautiful thing. But at the same time, it comes with letting certain things go things that you really cherished. And so I would say, what's the fear of letting some of those things go? And what are those things that you're thinking that you're going to have to give up mm-hmm. in order to negotiate this with your partner? And if there's a fear of letting those things go or giving those things up, are there ways to incorporate it into this new tradition that you're building with your partner? Sometimes that takes years to figure out. It takes years of going through this holiday. So if this is your first holiday, really navigating this with your partner, if it's your second, just know that this is something that takes time and something you can figure out over time about what this looks like.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, the idea we talk about from our family of origin of take what works and leave the rest.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's something as simple of here is what I really cherish and value.
Yeah.
But also you have to hear what your partner really cherishes and values. And I know that's hard when you first create your new family that you're working towards. There is a grief in that like, yeah. I'm not going to spend my whole Christmas tradition or my whole holiday tradition the same way. And so you might have to give yourself a little space to be like, wow, this is hard. This is the first year that I'm not doing the first night of Hanukkah with my parents. I usually would. I'm going somewhere else. And so you're going to have to make something, and it's going to be a little challenging to do that. Yeah. And that's why I'm also saying that you and your partner need to be on the same team to handle that transition.
No one really preps you for that change
no.
when you get into a long-term relationship.
Well, that's you know, why like, you should marry someone of a different religion.
Right? Which is what you did. Literally is, it's the easiest thing ever.
The
I'm
easiest
like, Christmas,
way.
Great. Where, what are You're, we doing?
Dude, how high? I mean, you have a tree now. How much do you love your tree?
I mean, I don't right now, but we threw it out.
Oh, what the fuck? Why? You loved it last year.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
Why'd you throw
it out? We had to throw a lot out when we were going through our renovations. But let me tell you, I loved that tree. It was beautiful. But, you know, to be able to go to my husband's family's house to enjoy Christmas, it's there's such an ability to balance it. And, you know, I hear a lot of the time, a lot of the negotiation that happens is that during Thanksgiving, you spend it with one partner's family. And during Christmas, you spend it with the other partner's family. And then you switch off every year, right? That I hear a lot of that negotiation coming yeah. on because the holidays are so close to each other. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, I think the simplest solution is marry someone of a different religion. Really makes it
Done.
Easy. And you get to experience different religions. You know, you
there
get
you
to
Great.
Experience
exposure.
Different holidays, the exposure.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. I really like this question just because I'm really interested to see how we talk through this because I don't know the answer. How to handle the awkwardness of gift receiving? My mother-in-law gives huge gifts and expects huge reactions. Ooh, so that's hard.
That is so hard.
Right? Imagine like being on the spot like that. That would be yeah. very challenging because you're then like, oh, like I'm performing.
100%.
Right? So I guess one thing is you could fake it.
I was going to say. I mean, what would you do, Em?
I would fake it, but you know me.
Of course.
But that's because I'm like, yeah, I keep my... But for some people, that's really uncomfortable. For me, I'm like, well, fucking whatever. I'll dance for you all. I find it difficult. Like, if somebody gives you, like, a pair of socks or some shit, right? You're like, yeah. thanks.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like sometimes.
Let me tell you, I love socks. I can't get enough. I can get holes in them. Can't get enough socks.
So I feel like some, you know, it's such, but I don't know. What would you do? That's why I wanted to answer this question because I wasn't really sure.
Okay. So I guess here's kind of a larger question on top of this question is sometimes gifts are actually for you and sometimes getting gifts are actually for another person. If we're being honest, right? Like, this gift that you're getting is clearly not really for you,
mm-hmm.
right? This gift that you're getting is really a gift back to, was it a mother-in-law or is it a mother? Who was
She's
it?
A mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. This is a gift back. Your reaction is the gift to your mother-in-law, if you think about it like that,
yeah.
right? So I think you can think about, right? I think we think, everyone thinks about gifts kind of in the same way of mm-hmm. like, oh, when you're buying a gift, you're buying it for the other person. And this is for what they need, what they want. A lot of the times, buying gifts is really so that the person can feel good about the fact that they got you something.
Yeah. I love buying gifts. You know me.
Yeah. You're so good at buying
gifts. I love buying gifts.
What do you like about it?
I like giving people shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like shopping and I like not having more stuff in my house. So I really use it to
do you care? Do you care about the people's reaction? Like if someone was like, oh, I don't really like this. Like, would that hurt you?
I don't know. No one's ever said that to me. I don't. No. Have you met me? I'd probably be like, oh, well, here's a gift receipt. Like, I don't know.
I think you would just be like, I'll take it anyway. Give it to someone else.
Oh, that's what I would say. I would be like, okay, well, now use it for a white elephant or something. Yeah. Right? Like, that's totally what I would do. I don't think because I tried my best.
Yes.
That's how it feels.
Exactly.
Like, if you don't like it, there's nothing I can do. I thought you'd like this gift. Guess I missed the mark. I'll try again next year. That's how I feel.
Right. So you're not like hard on yourself. So I think that's a big, when someone's giving you a gift, right? Like, I think that the bigger question too is like, what's your relationship like with your mother-in-law? You know, how does your mother-in-law typically react to
them? You feel pressured by her.
There might be pressure. There might be some way that you need to take care of her. Mm-hmm. And so this might connect to a larger question of like, what does your relationship look like with your mother-in-law in general? And so I also would want to know if you don't have a huge reaction, what happens? You know, if you don't freak out about the gift that she got you, like what will happen in your relationship? Does she talk to your partner about it? Does she come up and ask you questions about it? Does she, like, what does that look like? Because I think that this gift giving might touch on some larger things in your relationship. Yeah. And then you have to decide, am I okay with that, right? Am I okay with the fact that when she gives me gifts, it's not really about me and it's really about her?
Yeah.
And can I be okay with that? And is the gift I want to give back to her a reaction? Do I want to be really authentic and be like, thank you. Mm-hmm. No, we don't really need this, like, but thank you so much. You know, there are ways to go about it, even if it's something that you're not excited about or you don't like. You can say, thank you. This was so thoughtful of you, because of what, right? This is so thoughtful. I don't know if we're going to be able to use this, but I will figure it out, right? There's ways to be kind and authentic about it without freaking out and having to perform.
Are you ready for Dear Imogen?
Of course. Oh, wow. Time flies always.
Dear Imogen, how do you unlearn parentification in adult relationships or consciously break through the thought process? I'm a daughter to two addicts, and my mother was in prison for the majority of my life. I grew up incredibly fast, was always the caretaker, and needed to be hyper aware of the adult emotions around me to keep the peace. Now in my adult relationship, I am so rigid with my thinking and always trying to fix, heal, etc., because control was the only thing that made me feel safe. I am working as loving as they are and not overstepping the caretaking, but it is so hard. I'm afraid of letting go of that control will lead to disappointment and hurt.
Oh, I want to hug this person.
Yeah. So first of all, congratulations. First step is realizing how codependent you are, right? And you said all this stuff, right? So then we talked about, you know, we've gone through this before. Insight, awareness, action. You have the insight. I think you have the awareness. It sounds like now we have to get to the action. You're going to have to try. And so I know that you are so fucking scared to do this differently. And it's going to take a lot of trial of doing it differently. But you already know it's the right way. And the risk of doing something new is you do give up the safety of what's worked.
Yeah. And I think something that's really important to remember when you are learning how to unlearn parentification is that the love and care that you are pouring outwards towards others is the love and care that you needed as a child. And in order to break that pattern, it's essential for you to turn that love and care inward and to reparent yourself. You are giving others what you didn't receive growing up. And when you were younger, giving that to others was your control. It was the only control you had, was to try to give and take care of your parents. That was your survival mechanism. As an adult, that survival mechanism is no longer working for you. And so what I want you to do is take that love and care that you are pouring outwards, and I want you to turn it inwards and say, how do I give to myself the things that I needed growing up and I wasn't receiving from adults in my life.
And that's it for today's episode. We hope you have a wonderful holiday season in whatever that looks like. And if it's not feeling so wonderful, we hope you give yourself the peace and the gift to let it be what it is. We always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us at Shrink Chicks on Instagram. You can buy our merch at shrinkchicks.com/merch. You can check out our journal on Amazon, Shrink Chicks Journal, just right on into that search bar. Hey, if you are starting or wanting to move forward or switch it up in your healing journey, we would love to connect you with one of our amazing clinicians. You can check out thetherapygroup.com. Have a great, hello, sweet Nelly. Watch this video so you can see Jen's cutest cat in the entire world. We love you. We're thinking about you. And we can't wait to see you going into the new year. Don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week at Shrink Chicks.